This is IJ Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 7:36 p.m. Eastern Time. You still in, Shvela?
Yep, I'm in.
Okay. Perfect. 7:36. All right, roll call. Nathan Wakefield, I am present. Louis Skaradek?
Present.
Ian Michael Lolan?
Present.
Okay. Noel Yee? Noel is absent. Marvin Ong? Marvin is absent. Shvela Schwab?
I am present.
Thank you, Shvela. Scott Kane?
Present.
Thank you, Scott. Mike Sullivan is absent. Afton Benson? Treasurer is absent. Aaron Stevens? Absent, but should be joining us soon. Martin Frost? Absent. Dan Holdman?
Present.
And Dan is here. Delightful. Moving on to approval of the agenda. Would someone like to make a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
This is Louie. I'll make the motion.
Whoa. I love the enthusiasm. All right. I'll go with Shreya.
I already typed my name in, so...
Great.
Oh, there you go. She has a competitive edge. We have a second.
It's Louie. I'll second.
With gusto. Thank you, Louie. Any discussion about tonight's agenda? Moving to vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of tonight's agenda? Martin Frost has joined. Does anybody oppose the approval of tonight's agenda? Do we have any abstentions? Agenda approved. Moving on to approval of minutes. Would someone like to make a motion to approve the minutes from last month, October 24th, 2006?
This is Scott. I have a motion.
Thank you very much, Scott. Would someone like to second?
This is Louie. I'll make a second.
Loud and clear, Louie. Thank you. Do we have any discussion? Moving to a vote, does anybody oppose the approval of these minutes? Any abstentions? Minutes approved. Jumping right into reports. Dan, what's going on with the festival, sir? The floor is yours.
All right, well, I have the proposed event schedule in front of me, so let's start with that. And if there's any questions after that, I will gladly take them. Monday is the free day. Tuesday, we're going to start with a comedy and variety extravaganza. It looks like Steve Rawlings, the English comic juggler, and the Danger Committee will both be part of it, I hope. The focus is going to be on comedy and acts that will be really good for the public. We're going to try to get as much of the public in there as possible. I'll be working with the Cedar Rapids water skiing team. They've got about 50 people. We worked out kind of a fundraiser with them and other ways to try to move some tickets. So that's going to be a comedy variety extravaganza. And then the late night show, there's going to be a theater space at the juggling site. It's going to be a historical juggling show with David Kane and Eric Aberg. Well, they'll present historical tricks, rare videos, rare stunts, special guests. And that ticket will be $10. And the price of that ticket will go to fund the History Museum. And that'll be Tuesday. Okay? Any questions about Tuesday? What's that?
Is that an extra ticket, or is that included in the package?
That's an extra ticket. It's an extra $10 ticket.
Not part of the package deal, right?
Not part of the package. It'll be available in a VIP package and also at the site itself. But not part of the... There's four extra shows. And the first of those is a historical juggling show, $10, and the proceeds will go to pay for the museum itself and for David and Eric to be there. Okay, should I move on to...
Sounds good, Dan. Continue.
Cool. So Wednesday, there'll be the Youth Showcase and Juniors, and it looks like the prize money is going to be like $1,502.50, so $1,750 total for the juniors. And then after the juniors, the late night show is going to be a shoebox tour show with Jay Gilligan and Eric Aberg. And that's also going to be a $10 extra ticket. And Jay is one of the confirmed guests I will announce to you guys here. Once again, I haven't announced it until we've worked out the budget with you guys, but we've made out a deal, me and him, for him to be there next year. So Wednesday night late show will be a shoebox tour show.
What time are these late shows?
What's that? Oh, 11 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's a. We tried to find like a Club Renegade space, because that was sort of the first idea, which is to go with a Renegade and see what the late night options were, and there was really nothing in the space, you know, in Cedar Rapids. And then by moving, there was some a decent ballroom space, like if you brought in a riser stage and staging and things like that. And by bringing the bars into the hotel, like by having cash bars, we're bringing more revenue, and we're able to sort of get better deals. It also kind of provides sort of a different experience by having these extra shows as opposed to the usual Renegades. So that's part of the thinking behind that. So, yeah, so the Shoebox Tour will be 11 o'clock, and that's a $10 ticket. And once again, the proceeds of that will go to pay for to bring Jay in from Sweden, so or Stockholm, wherever he's at. So then Thursday, we have the seniors and teams competitions. And with the money now that the other donor has given us, I think we can offer a $7,000 prize pool, which would be $2,000, $1,000, and $500, you know, if you break it down between the seniors and the teams. So that's pretty good. I mean, it's certainly not what it was last year, but it's not back to what it was. I think that's the most we can budget, given the donor's money, the other donor giving all the money to the brunch. So that's where I am with the competitions. And then the late night show on Thursday is going to be a Flow and Glow show, which is sort of going to be part of our Flow outreach. And we have a really good cast already with Kevin Axtell, Marvin Ong, and Jonathan Alvarez. And so they're also going to be part of the Flow Zone and lead Flow workshops. That's also a $10. Yes, I do, yeah.
Oh, nice. I didn't know you knew him. He's a big name right now, if board members don't know, in the Flow community. I think he's going to be a very big draw for the Flow people. So that's
yeah, and by coincidence, he's also my demonstrator for the toy I invented.
Oh, so, wow.
He'll be featured in all my videos. I know. No, me and Jonathan are actually good friends. So,
oh,
yeah.
That's great.
He's a great talent, great kid, and we have really good group. And also, him and I will be at, like, Fire Drums together, and also the one Marvin produces in Idlewild, so I can do some cross-promotion with the Flow community.
Very nice.
The toy itself is going to be out probably early January, so I think it's going to make a big splash, I hope so.
Good to hear.
Yes, I'm very happy with it. I think it's great, of course. It's my own toy. All right, enough of that. So, yeah, that'll be the Flow show, and that's another 11 o'clock show. Then Friday is our day that the theater is closed. So the Darken Theater on Friday. And I'm trying to arrange a performance with the Cedar Rapids JCs. They do an uptown market Friday night at this beautiful McGrath amphitheater with like cover bands and food trucks. And I'm trying to get something together with the Jugglers while the band is going on, and then also a fire jam afterwards. I think that's sort of our best outdoor late night fire jam with the community type of option. I've had no luck connecting with them yet, but that's my plan for Friday night. There's also a show at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is a swing show. It's going to be Peter Davidson's solo show, Tossed and Found, another $10 ticket. And then late night, there's going to be a free Renegade show at 11 o'clock.
And that's
in
Friday?
The theater space. That's Friday, yes. And also we're going to have the games and joggling and, you know, the other parts of the festival as well.
This is Scott from a self-promotion, when is numbers?
Well, we can work that out. I mean, I'd imagine Friday or Saturday is probably I thought we had talked about Friday, or at least,
normally,
you know.
Normally it's Friday at 1, but
Mm-hmm.
We were not done by 4 o'clock last year.
Do you need to schedule 3 hours for it, do you think? Is that...
Yeah, we were not done. We're hoping to make it shorter. We're going to make a rule change to make it, hopefully make it shorter this year. But even if we started at 1 and it was, 2.5 hours, which would be on the very, very short side of numbers, that would put us at 3:30, which, so we may just need to talk.
Yeah, I have it tentatively scheduled 1 to 4, so like 3 hours. I think that was sort of, I thought
right.
that would be the time with a little bit of leeway.
But if Peter's starts at 4.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's why I started at 4, though. I thought she'd be done by 3. I thought it'd be like 2 hours, 3 hours at the most. So I guess I'd push it right to 4. All right, well, we'll work on that. We'll make sure either you let me know exactly how much time you need, and if you can tighten it up a little bit, because I know you had talked about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we really need 3 hours of numbers, per se.
Well, a lot of it depends on how many people sign up. Last year, because John Gleesimo was there, they signed up to every single category, and we went almost 4 hours, but...
is there some kind of preliminary or some kind of level they have to achieve before they're allowed to sign up, or just anybody can sign up?
Anyone can sign up. We'll talk offline, and I'll talk
okay.
to Mara that does it with me, and we can talk about that.
Because we can certainly start it earlier or put the time aside, but it does sound like maybe it's just some... Oh, okay. All right, well, the numbers will be on Friday unless there's some... reason for us to move it off Friday, Scott.
Okay. What was the
Dan?
Uh-huh.
Where is the Peter Davidson show? Is it right on the site?
Yes. The convention and the juggling space and the hotel are all connected. It's like a convention center with the hotel attached to it. And right above the festival where the juggling is are some extra ballrooms that you would have for smaller events. And there's a room in there that's pretty nice. I mean, it's for a ballroom. I've performed in many ballrooms, believe me. And we can kind of make a pretty nice situation with a large enough stage. It'll be a riser stage with rings and, we'll bring in some trees and good sound. And it's literally a 2-minute walk from where the juggling is. So everything's going to be very self-contained. And even the theater space itself, where all the shows are, is only maybe a 5-minute walk, a 7-minute walk. So we're really lucky that it's all very close together.
So are all the special shows, these $10 extra shows, are they all going to be at that place just above the gym, 2-minute walk away?
Yes, yes. That way we can create one sort of performance space. A lot of the cost in that kind of staging is the setup and tear down. So our plan is to set it up once and we're going to leave it. And then we lose it on Saturday because they're bringing in we're actually getting those rooms for free, which is another nice, feature that we've worked out with the hotel. But we're losing it to a wedding on Saturday night, so there's really nothing in there Saturday. So the last show in there is that Friday, Peter Davidson's 4 to 5, like a before dinner show. And then, because he's not really a late night show, but I think it's a nice show at that time. And then a Renegade show at 11. And then we'll tear down, and then it'll be, open for their wedding the next day on Saturday.
So only one Renegade show this year?
There's one Renegade show and then one kind of, it's going to be sort of a People's Choice Award banquet. So it's going to be kind of more of an awards banquet, wrap-up, thank yous, parody, Renegade-ish kind of pizza party to close. And that's actually going to be in the gym. We're going to have a small stage in the gym as well where some of the events are going to happen. So there's like one Renegade. So there's two free events. Is the Renegade, but also, of course, the outdoor event on Friday. So we are losing one Renegade. If usually there's three free Renegades, there's a free Renegade and a free awards banquet with pizza. But like I said, there's really no Renegade space. But there is a space that's maybe a 45-minute walk away, an hour away. And if the Renegade wanted to set something up and be a true Renegade and do something, I would not stop anybody, But it really didn't work for us to do Renegade ourselves, on the... It kind of loses some of its charm if you have sort of a rowdy Renegade, like in a ballroom, in a convention site. It really should be at a bar, so it didn't really work to have too much Renegade next year. So that brings us to Saturday. If you guys are ready for Saturday, So Saturday, we're going to have a buskers competition at the farmer's market. They have a big farmer's market that brings in 10,000 people. Trying to get the $1,000 prize, but that's still to be worked out. It might be a little bit less than that. We're going to have the games during the day and ex-juggling, joggling at the Co-College track. And then the night is going to be the Cascade of Stars. And it looks like the special guests so far, I'm hoping, are going to be... this is very tentative, so of course don't quote me on any of this. But I have a sponsor who wants to bring in Gina Schwartzman. And I think that's great, you know, pay for her way out to the festival and her room and everything. I'm like, that's great. So I want to bring in Paul Ponce, but I need to confirm with him at the beginning of the year. I've also talked with Ofeg Schneer, and Ofeg wants to come, so I want to bring in Ofeg Schneer and Anderson da Silva, a young juggler from Brazil, along with Jay and Eric and Peter, who are already confirmed.
That's sort of who
I'm looking at for special guests.
If you could get all those people, that would be a kick-butt group. Anderson and Ofeg and Paul, all great. I mean, Peter and Eric and Gina, that's...
Well, a lot of it's with these extra shows, a lot of it is good is that we're able to kind of spread the money around. Like I have Jay and Eric will both also be in the Cascade of Stars, you know, doing a much shorter piece in addition to their shoebox tour piece. Because my entire budget for the Cascade of Stars is about $8,000-$9,000. So, you know, Ofeg might also be in the United States visiting his father. So if I don't have to bring him from Israel, that would be much cheaper. But I think he's probably the most popular juggler now. And maybe, you know, do number one in the 40 most popular. Him and I tried to get Water on Mars, but they're booked in Vegas all next year. So... that's pretty much all I can really do with a special guest. I have a few other acts to round it out. I have a few local, Andy Head out of Chicago. Brad Weston's working a amusement park in Iowa. So there's a couple of good local acts that I'm going, and, you know, to try to fill it out. But I'm hoping to have five or six really good top headliners in the show. I want the People's Choice Award to be done after the public show. So everyone has a chance to, you know, be involved in it. I think this year they had like 8 votes. The winner got like 8 votes, which I think is kind of a shame, you know. So I'm trying to make a bigger deal about it. And we'll collect them after the show and have like an hour or so to tabulate them and have kind of like, I say, an award / performance banquet to finish the week off.
And
so part of the deal with the... Excuse me?
When is this banquet that you're talking about?
That would be after the Cascade of Stars. So we all come back. Instead of there being a renegade, it's more of a kind of thank you to the volunteers and giving out the People's Choice or any awards we haven't given out up to that point. But I think the People's Choice could be a bigger award. It's kind of a big deal. And the people who perform in the final show, I think should be included in the voting.
But you're talking about banquet at 11 p.m.
Well, we're talking about free pizza, so let's not call it a banquet. We'll call it like a pizza party.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Scott. What, that fire jam thing you were talking about possibly on Friday, what time would that be on Friday?
Well, I have to work that out. Like I say, that's run by the Cedar Rapids JCs. It's called Uptown Market. We tried to get that space for ourselves. Like, wow, what a great space for like an outdoor show and a fire jam. It would have been about $8,000 because you have to rent the porta potties and blah, blah, blah. But they're having their own event, this community event, on Friday, which turned out to be the night the theater was dark anyways. So if we can piggyback with them and not have it cost us anything...
Would it be after theater show or before theater show?
This would be there's nothing in the theater on Friday. Friday is our dark night in the theater.
Right. So if Peter Singer is at 4 and Renegades at 11...
We'd have Peter in the afternoon. So Peter would be before dinner. And then after Peter, people would go into the town, have dinner. They'd mosey on over to this sort of fire jam, open, you know, band kind of thing. There's food trucks and, you know, booths, I think, you know, that sell stuff. And, you know, kind of mix and mingle with the community. I'll sell them on the idea of the jugglers performing while the bands are playing. And afterwards, I'd like there to be a live fire jam from like 9 to 11, And then I've had Renegade start at 11 o'clock anyways, because only like the diehard fire people will be, you know, there towards the end. But it could start a little bit later, you know, Renegade could be 11:15-ish, something like that. But I was thinking about, you know, like 9 to 11 for the fire jam. Or 10 to 12 if we're allowed. I mean, you know, I think there'll be enough people to split the activities at that time at night. A lot of that depends on their agenda, like what time they're allowed to go to, and because that would be really nice to not have to pay and actually be at that beautiful amphitheater, and maybe even get the, you know, some cross promotion going for the show that night, or for the show on Saturday, I mean.
How far would that be from the festival proper?
It's walkable. It's about a 20-minute walk. It's beautiful, though. It's right on the river. It's just fantastic. But there's no way we could have afforded it. So I don't know why they would turn this down. But, you know, so far I've put out a couple feelers. I've asked my friends, the water skiers, to look into it. But it could be the thing where it's, you know, a summertime activity, so there's really nobody on it until, you know, much later. So it might be a couple of months before I can knock that down. But we have some backup plans for, like, a fire show at night on Friday. But that would be the killer spot if we could do it at the McGrath Auditorium, amphitheater, I mean. So that's what I'm trying to get angle for. So that's kind of what I've been working on. We look pretty good. The graphics are sort of coming together, the special guests, the budget. Mike wanted to be on the call with the budget. It's pretty much all laid out, and we'll have it by the end of the year for sure. I mean, if there's any questions about anything I've done up to this point, I'm glad to answer them, and then I'll let you guys move on with your agenda.
Sounds good. Sounds like you've got a handle on things. Great.
Would you know what time brunch is going to be in the morning?
Well, I'm trying to push it like maybe sort of 10 to 12-ish around there. I think, yeah, there's a space, it's a Buzz Light Lounge where I think we can hold it, which is once again all within that space. You know, it's like a 1 minute walk from where the juggling is. It's, I mean, even if the weather's bad, everything is so self-contained, which is another good thing about these, you know, these on-site, theater shows. Because that way we're pretty self-contained no matter what happens. You know, if it's brutally hot, there's not a lot of travel involved at this festival. And so what we're going to do is we're having a VIP pricing. We're having two pricings, and one is a $75 extra price where you get a laminate and all the four shows and the VIP brunch. So we're trying to bring in extra money before the festival with that. I think we sent in a proposal with that before. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not. Yes?
What does the $75 get you besides the four shows?
Excuse me, Martin?
What does the $75 get you besides the $10 extra shows?
It gets you the extra shows. It gets you a laminate, and the laminate will get you into the juggling and also get you into all the shows. It will act as your ticket, a souvenir item, so you won't have to wear a wristband. There's also a Wednesday night VIP reception, the hosted bar and appetizers, which is Wednesday night. So you get the tickets are $40, and it's not a small space, but it's we can't guarantee tickets for everybody if, you know, if there's a huge turnout. So it guarantees you your ticket, you get the reception and this souvenir laminate. And perhaps also a nicer shirt, like a polo shirt as opposed to a t-shirt. So there's a little bit of a premium built into it, but not much. It's a pretty good deal for $75, I think. And once again, the people who are paying the same price as last year get everything they got before, plus a lot more special guests, the History Museum. There's going to be a coaching lounge that Richard Kinnison and Jay will be at with video feedback, where people can go and ask questions and get feedback on their form and, you know, help with their juggling. So there's a lot of extra features that the people who are paying the same price are going to get because of these extra features for $75. But there's going to be no special workshops. Like, all the workshops are going to be free with the special guests.
And there's a free brunch all week, Tuesday to Saturday?
Yeah, yeah. But the brunch, the money will basically just cover the brunch. We've been working on that with the hotel. It looks like we're going to get brunch for every morning, Tuesday through Saturday. Which is great, because once again, we're bringing in more revenue to the hotel. And we're going to try to get a better comp rate for our rooms than what we have. We're trying to get like a 1 in 25 or, what you know, free room rate would be nice. So it's great, because the more stuff we can do in conjunction with the hotel, we have a great relationship with Go Cedar Rapids, which is the local marketing team out there in Cedar Rapids. So as soon as the planning phase is over, I'm going to go more into a promotion phase. Like, I haven't really put anything out on Facebook or done too much promotion until the planning is over and the special guests are committed to. And then I want to do a lot of local promotion and try to fill up the theaters and get sponsorship and do that part of it. But I'm just finishing up the planning phase now.
So, Dan, you and I touched on this a little bit when we talked, but could you kind of update the board and officers about what your plan is for the workshop situation?
Well, I mean, the workshops, I think they're going to be more of sort of special workshops. We're going to try to have like a movement workshop with Peter Davidson at a certain time, you know, followed by a technique workshop with Jake Gilligan. There's still going to be extra workshops. There's three workshop spaces. But we're trying to have sort of a main agenda where like an Ofeg Sneer or a Gina Schwartzman or I really feel like the special guests, especially in El Paso, you really didn't see them very much or you really didn't interact with them very much. Like Emil Dahl, if you didn't take his special workshop, I saw him practice because I would get up at 7 or 8 in the morning because I'm an early riser, but he would never be anywhere. So I want to have a lot of access to Peter and Jay and Eric And Eric's also doing three history lectures, which will be worked into the agenda. So we're going to lose some of the workshops. There's going to be some of the less kind of, the ones that get 4 or 5 people. So I'm not going to have as much focus on the workshops because of the history lectures and the focus on these main workshops. So it's going to be, it's been a bit diffused, and they haven't really gone after the big guns to do the workshops. So I want all the special guests to be more involved with the workshops. But it'll be pretty much the same. I mean, people can still sign up and do workshops. If there's a workshop people want to have, three ball penguin site swap, whatever, I'm all for it. It's just I want to have more of a focus on sort of this idea of the benefit of the performers. Like, there's also going to be an open stage where people can get critiqued. But if you could sort of have like a movement class with Peter Davidson, then a technique class with Jay, if we can get a good physical comedy class going, comedy writing, this video feedback at the coaching lounge, an open stage. Like I say, I think the things like the Renegade and the workshop, I just feel they could be of more benefit and value. So I'm just sort of changing those up a little bit.
Gotcha. Now are you going to have a director to manage some of the workshop, or are you just going to kind of...
That depends on okay. Who I can get, and it might be worked into something else. I need to have a producer for that room, like a production team for that theater room. So a lot of the bigger workshops are also going to be in that theater room, so we can use the sound system and the stage. So if you have a Jay Gilligan workshop and you have a couple hundred people attending, it'll be more of that kind of situation where he'll be up on stage with a mic. And it'll be, more of that kind of setting. So there'll be more of like a production staff for that theater, for the late night shows as well. And right now I'm looking at probably Keith Nelson and Crash, who usually do the Renegades, to be sort of the production team for that space. And so part of that would also be, like I say, producing these workshops and lectures. Because Eric Aberg is also doing this Definition of Juggling lecture that when he announced it a while back, I got a lot of hype, like, what is this Definition of Juggling? So a lecture like that might attract, a sizable crowd. So I want to present it as an event, and so I'll need to have it produced.
Sounds good. All right, final questions, comments before we move on, guys, board? Going once, going twice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also open, too, if you ever want to reach out to me, for anything. Feedback or guests or anything in between these calls, I'm very accessible. Me and Nathan have talked. Me and Scott have talked. Me and Aaron, of course, have talked. So, you know, I'm definitely trying to do the best I can for everybody to satisfy everybody's needs and desires for this festival. It's going to be huge. We're going to build a wall around it.
Oh no!
It was all going so good up till then.
Oh, beautiful. All right, Dan. Well, a lot of exciting things going on. Thank you for joining us.
Cool. And, I'll let you guys go. Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to get ready for my call with Vivica and Neil. But like I say, next call, we'll definitely have the budget, and then we can start announcing this stuff and start doing the promotion.
Perfect. Great, thanks great. Again.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great meeting. Yep. Okay, bye. Happy holidays.
Bye. All right, folks, moving right along to future festival planning. Mr. Sullivan way, but he did post a mini update on there. So it looks like our best prospect right now is Fort Wayne, Indiana. Any thoughts on that?
That's for 18?
19.
19, yeah. Not really.
Yeah. All right. Not a lot of thoughts on that, but yeah, I'm sure Mike can give us a more detailed update when we talked to him, and he did, as he indicated there, he did post a Fort Wayne proposal there if you'd like to read that in greater depth. So, sounds like we at least have one positive option for 2019. Any final thoughts? All right, moving along to the financial report with Afton, who I'm not sure why she's not here. She indicated she would be, but unfortunately, we are still waiting on the final numbers for the El Paso Festival. On the plus side, as you did see, we did get the grant. We have the check. So that is official. It's just a matter of making the final payments to the venues now that we have received the grant, and then we should be in good shape. But it's looking very optimistic from my talks with Jim, Aft, and Dennis. Any discussion? Moving on to marketing with Aaron Stevens. Aaron Stevens.
Hi, guys.
Fill us in.
Fill you in. Cool, yeah. There's a report there, and everything is going quite well on the marketing department, except today there was a kink in my thing, and I got locked out of our Instagram account, and so I'm trying to contact your support to help alleviate that situation. I know. So I've written Martin and David trying to figure out. They say that they've emailed us a 6-digit code to get back in, and it didn't come to my email, and it didn't go to Martin's email, and we're not sure which email is exactly in combination with that account right now, because it's been a year and a half since I made it. So, hopefully they get back to me too. Oh, and I was going to ask on that note if anyone knows, and I would guess, Martin, you might be the only one who would. I need a JPEG document of some kind of proof that I'm part of this organization. And I was able to find a GIF document on the juggle.org website, but they only accept JPEGs, J-P-E-G, which I don't think those existed back in 1979 or whatever when we got incorporated.
what are you looking for?
Our corporation. The IJA. Our Articles of Incorporation or whatever it is.
They're online.
Right, but it's just the wrong format, and I don't know how to change that.
Shoot me an email with a reminder, and I can turn GIFs into JPEG. We'll see about the resolution and how they hold up, but I can do that, turn that around for you real quick.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, I was thinking of JPEG, like JPG, and I did that, and then it was like, no, JPEG, JPEG, and I was like, darn. So,
you know, sometimes you can rename a JPG to JPEG, and it's pretty much the same file. So that may work if you already
different.
Have a JPEG of it.
No difference.
Gotcha.
It may be different some. You may be able to, sometimes they're similar or not.
Well, I'll just send it to you and have you do the magic.
Well,
and that would be perfect. And then we should be hopefully fine. Yeah. Okay. So there's that. Other than that, marketing went really well with the IRCs. I've been learning tons this year about how to really effectively market them, because for the first 3 years I kept being frustrated that I'd come back and people would be like, oh, those exist? Oh, interesting. But now I feel like there's a large enough following of them, and our social media accounts in general are so much stronger than they've ever been that, yeah, I got to do a lot of fun things. Like at the festivals that I was at, I would do live video streams both on Facebook and on Instagram of both the competitions, but also the festivals where the events were happening. So just like, hey, look, here's the 5 Club Endurance, or here's this other thing. And all of those got really great attention. And also during the competitions, like I did, there's this thing on Instagram now called Live Stories, or they're called Instagram stories, but you can do like live video clips up to a minute long. So I did that for each of the acts from the IRC in Chile, and those also got like 3,000 or something views each, so that was awesome. And yeah, in the past I would do like $30 boosts on announcing like the gold medalist, and it would maybe get 500 likes, and now I did $10 boosts this time and it got like 1,700 likes and 300 to 500 shares. So it just shows that our general impact is increasing rapidly, which is awesome.
Great.
Awesome. Aaron, you mentioned marketing at juggle.org as a possible email address for the account.
Right. I wrote David about that.
Well, that address used to exist, but it doesn't exist on the new IJ server because we didn't
All
know
right.
that it was in use. So we could recreate that. David could recreate that, I'll say, and have it forward to you, and then
okay.
you could request another reset. But they won't. They don't even tell you what. I mean, how did you request a password reset if you didn't know the email address? What
well,
information did
what,
you
how, basically, what happened was the GetSmart group. They were trying to figure out. Asked them to figure out a better Instagram widget for the website that would connect directly with the Instagram account, and he said that was possible. But he had to have access to the account to establish it, and so I gave him the password, which I've done before for people, and they logged in just fine. And he logged in, and they sent an email saying, you need a six-digit account that we've sent to your email address. And I went to my email, and there was no six-digit number. So then I tried to log in, and it said, somebody tried to access your account. Was it you? And I said, no. And then it made me change my password. And then it made me, and then it said, okay, we've emailed you a six-digit number. And I'm like, So
So you're locked out. You're locked out yourself now.
I am locked out myself, yes.
But let me ask again, with what information did you and whoever this other person was at GSG, I assume, try to log in to the account? You must have had a username.
Yeah, with the username and password, but that's not the email. The
no,
username
what's,
is at IJA underscore juggle. Or IJA
that's the
juggle.
User.
Yeah,
okay.
So it doesn't indicate the email. But it makes sense to me that it would be marketing at juggle.org because that's supposed to go to me, and that would make sense because that's what I've been using for sites like Facebook and Instagram. So
that
if
doesn't
it's not...
Like, doesn't look like that's ever gone to you. It's gone to iPull Shapes. Is that Tom?
Oh, no, that was Kyle. That was
Kyle.
It could be that it was never
Kyle.
Forwarded to
oh.
me, and I
Kyle.
Thought that maybe it was because I've
Kyle?
Been the marketing director for 2 years. but, yeah, iPull Shapes and Tom would have been the two that it probably went to. But, yeah.
Yeah. It actually went to iPull Shapes, and let's see, who's the other one? I guess that's it. It always went to Kyle, then.
Okay. So,
I'm
yeah, if you can establish
history.
That, I'm guessing that's it. And if it's not, I've also written a request to them to hopefully unlock that for us. Well, I will send it once I have the JPEG of the document.
Okay, so we need to contact David and ask him to set that up, set forwarding an email address. We'll go to you.
Yeah, and I did write him already, and I said, hey, does that email currently forward to me? And if not, could you make it do so? So I haven't heard back yet. Anyhow, that's that. That was the adventure of today.
All right, any discussion questions? On the marketing? Excellent work, Aaron Stevens. Moving right along to IRC report, also with Aaron Stevens. Aaron Stevens.
Yay. So sweet, yeah. So just the IRCs as a whole in South America were, I don't know, it's just so cool to see how far these programs have come and, like, how much they're doing right now for the juggling scene, especially in Latin America, but also starting to be a worldwide impact, which is awesome. We had the most entries for both Colombia and Chile, had several entries, more than any of the other IRCs throughout the year, which is cool. The one in Colombia was some of the most famous South American jugglers all in one competition. It was pretty mind-blowing, including Anderson, who we're inviting, and he was the silver medalist. Nino Topo, who's also quite the big name from Latin America right now, Emerson Noyes. Super high level. And then the cool thing about Chile was there was a lot of people that were incredible, and Chile has phenomenal jugglers. I call them the machines. But they're not as well known, so it's neat to now be able to use the IJ to help make those names more known and make those people more visible out there. So very cool.
The IJ to promote cyborgs.
Cyborgs, yes. Machines. Cyborg machines.
Oh, man. That's a new realm for us, guys. Oh, geez. It's going to be a weird thing to promote. All right. We'll do what we can, Aaron. Thanks.
Just to fill you guys in on something really sad that happened right after I got back, four of the people that were in our competition, as well as a whole busload of people, were on their way to the National Colombian Circus Convention, and the bus had a major accident. And rolled several times, and the gold medalist fractured his elbow. The person who actually would have won the gold medal but ended up getting disqualified because of the time limit, Emerson, he fractured his knee really bad and is actually still in the hospital two weeks later. One of the girls who competed fractured her vertebrae in her neck. One person died, and it was just really tragic. So we're going to be writing a little document about that for the newsletter, just to let people know. To keep people in their thoughts at this time.
Yeah.
But I think that, too, is, like, something that I feel is really special right now, at least in the social media realm, is that now the IJ is in a place where it gets to support people during times like that, too. When we were working with the Chilean group for the IRC down there, they lost an 18-year-old passed away right as we were about to announce the competition. That was a big part of their organization, and so, you know, the IJ was able to do a little shout-out and say, you know, the whole world's thinking of you guys right now, and so it's neat that the IJ can support people at that time, at the hard times as well.
Absolutely, Aaron. Thank you for your hard work. Any questions, comments for Aaron on the IRCs?
Aaron, the bus that rolled, was this a public transit bus or a charter bus or what?
No. It was a charter bus that they had gotten to so that the people could travel to the festival all in one vehicle.
So the festival chartered it?
Yeah, yep. So it's a tough situation. My little heart broke for the organizers. I wrote Nathan as I found out that the girl had just died, and I was like, any drama that we've ever dealt with as a team, like working on the board, has never been anything close to this. You know, my heart just breaks for the organizers and what they've had to go through with this, all of this, so. Anyhow.
Yeah. Definitely puts things in perspective.
Yeah. Anyhow.
All right. Yeah. Anyhow.
But, yeah. And just to end on the positive things going on, for the future, I'm in discussions with lots of people for 2017. We're planning a big fundraising campaign to start with direct contact in December, and then a public crowdsourcing fundraising thing in January. So, good stuff.
All right. Any final thoughts on IRCs? Moving along to the website report with, let's see, that would be with Aaron Stevens.
Whoa!
Who expected that one? All right. Take it away, Ann.
I'm ready for this one to be over. Do not have to give this report anymore. Be quite fair. Yeah, so I wrote up a little thing saying that we had all been planning to do the launch 2 weeks ago, and then there were several concerns and issues that came up during that process, including the main designer on the team was not working out so well for various reasons. A big part of it was he had tons of stuff, life stuff that had happened all at the same time while she was working with the Get Smart Group and the communication errors. And so Scott asked to halt the process of launching and doing the go-live in order to make sure everything was in order, which actually Martin suggested first. and, yeah, they brought on this new guy, Scott Kay, this last week, and he has, I had this list of all the fixes that I wanted to see before we launched, and he has fixed them, almost all of them. There's a couple little things remaining, but it's in a much better place than I've seen it yet, as far as, like, just overall stability and functionality. Everything's looking really great, and it's moving quickly. There's a couple API adjustments that need to happen, but I think those are can easily be addressed probably tonight. And so right now the discussion is happening with the IJ team and GitSmart group for rescheduling the launch, hopefully this week.
Okay, this is Nathan.
Where is that?
A few things here.
Yeah.
Can you or whoever is representing the Get Smart group CC me on any and all updates regarding the launch? Because it seems like this has been drawn out and delayed and then delayed again. And every time I'm told it's going to happen, it doesn't happen, and nobody tells me why it hasn't happened. I'm also a little concerned that in reading this report, this is the second time that the Get Smart group has basically said one of the hiccups is due to their employees not doing their job correctly. And as a client, that's kind of hard to hear that repeatedly from a vendor that you're paying.
Yep.
So I'm just a little concerned as to between these delays and, you know, putting the responsibility on people not doing their jobs, what exactly is going on here? And can we have a hard deadline as opposed to just these soft deadlines that keep getting delayed indefinitely?
I would love that. I would love that.
We can't really put a hard deadline on this. Unless you're going to say, if you guys don't finish this up by such and such a date, then we're not going to pay you. Have we already actually paid them?
Yeah. There was an error where they actually got their final payment.
So we don't have any leverage at this point, I'm afraid, other than, you know, reputational complaints. So I don't know that we can do anything about a hard deadline. Things have to get done. And if they're not done, what's the... You know, what's the result? The deadline passes. We can't say, okay, we're not paying you. We can't do that. We need to finish this. So we're pretty much committed at this point.
All these payments? Were these all done through UNAMED directly?
No. I think you did to Dennis. You arranged the payment or told him what the payment thing was, as far as I know, and he made the payments to be set for what they were supposed to be once every 3 months instead of based on the deadlines being met. And so the third one went through when it was supposed to be done rather than waiting till the end.
So it was done on a time frame that he had in his calendar, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
When was the last payment made, do you know?
I don't know. A long time ago because we're late.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been frustrating. It has been, and I know as Louie knows, I've been in the thick of it more than anyone. It's been frustrating. So But as Martin's also said, like, these are things that need to get done, and there's, I've also been very privy as to the reasons why they have not gotten accomplished. But I think having some kind of accountability from you, Nathan, or from whomever is great, because I am also an employee with the Markers, so there's that awkwardness. So I'm happy to have you see it on all communications from now on, if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out when this live is going to happen, because I keep hearing it's happening Thursday, and then I'll check the website on Thursday, and nothing happens. So then I'll reach out to somebody in a few days and be told, oh, this happened, so it's been delayed. I want to know.
Want to know what's going on.
Yeah. If it's not launching when I'm told it's going to be launched, I'd like to know why, and I'd like to know when the next projection is, at the very least.
Yep. Totally.
So how optimistic are you about Wednesday and Thursday, as this report indicates?
Before you answer that,
yeah.
Let me say this. David Landown, our esteemed webmaster, has pointed out that we really should be looking at the new site after it's been supposedly finished, and all of these things fixed, and I might say, as a side note, we don't know who's going to manage this new site. It's not going to be David, and I'm not sure who it's going to be. I mean, right now, Aaron and I have access to it, but I don't think Aaron wants to be the webmaster of the new site. Maybe she'll contribute to it, but David suggested that we really need to be playing with it completed for a few days before we actually go live. That's what his comment was. On the other hand, JetSmart Group seems to want to go live and then have us play with it and then fix things after the fact. I mean, that's a little less polished, a little less professional, perhaps.
So I'm going to interject right here, Martin. Did we already do that, like, a month ago?
Well,
like,
you look at it,
sort of, and then there were still some kinks. So yeah,
a bunch of kinks still, and some of those have been fixed, and others have come up.
Okay, so it would be the same thing, just a round two sweep, essentially, correct?
More or less.
Okay.
One of the things that we don't know how to do, and we're waiting right now for a set of tutorials from the Get Smart group, which will tell us how to edit the new site, how to maintain it. And
which I know how to do.
We don't have those deliverables yet.
What'd you say, Aaron?
I said which I'm kind of like the only person who knows how to do it at this point.
Well, you know how to do some things. You know how to do everything?
Right. No, not everything.
Yeah.
I know how to do general editing stuff.
Yeah, and I know how to do some things and edit some, general editing is okay, but some of the fancier things, if one of those breaks, we don't have any knowledge of how to do it, other than, online and stuff.
Right. And, I mean, another piece of this is that the Get Smart Group is, part of the contract is that they are contracted to fix any glitches or errors or broken anything for the first year after the site has launched. That is there as well, and so I think that's more focused on getting the launch done, knowing that they will be covering any type of breaks or anything, and then making the videos based on the final site because things have changed, making sure that we have everything. But I would like to see those videos very much.
Okay, so hypothetically, you say that nobody really knows how to use this. Two questions regarding that. One, how difficult would this be to manage? And two, should we contemplate creating a new officer position for somebody that's qualified to manage this system once it's fully implemented?
Well, we have the webmaster.
Yeah, I think that's the position we have for it, and David's going to be stepping down. I bet you, I'm sure he's willing to do a little bit of a crossover with whoever's stepping in, but I think he's stepping down from it.
Let me explain that. So David wants to become the system administrator for the IGA. Which means sort of overseeing all of our websites, and we'll still have some. We'll still have, three or so.
Yeah.
At least. And so, but he doesn't want to be the person who is responsible for the content on those sites, except for the old site that he has long managed. So somebody needs to be responsible, basically the webmaster of the new, the content.
I see.
Yeah.
And that's what,
so it could be a content master more than a webmaster if we were to differentiate a little bit.
Well, it depends on what you mean by webmaster, but someone to take over the general responsibility for the new website. David doesn't expect to be doing anything with a new website other than managing the back end, the database, making sure it's working, that sort of thing.
And I'm happy to help with transitions and everything, and I definitely plan to be doing updates as far as like the pages that my programs are involved with and all that. And I know that Mike is planning to do things with the festival site, for example. He'd like to be given access to the training videos and access to making adjustments for his festival pages. But for the overall general webmaster, that's definitely a position to look at.
I will say one more thing, and that is the new site will be, more manageable by multiple people than the original site, the pre-YM site. Even the YM site is a little more manageable than the old site. And this site, what we really don't have is sort of an overall design, even though the design is finished, for how what things are going to look long term, where things are going to go. But we have, a layout for the new website, and we can have people editing their sections. Like Aaron can be editing the IRC stuff and whatever. Somebody else needs editing World Juggling Day pages and so forth. So it's not that hard to edit individual things, but to set them up. To set up the initial design for a new program, let's say, is the quickest.
Okay, with that in mind, how about this? When this is complete, we could see about voting David in as a sysadmin. We could maybe create a new position for a content administrator or something, and then create a policy where we can give page access to officers, and then have a few general officers that also have basic overview knowledge in the event of something happening to the content administrator. Is that kind of a good plan, or what do you think?
I think that sounds pretty good. Yeah.
I think so as well. I'm curious as to who this content administrator might be.
Are there any new board members here with an IT background? I'm trying to think. Anybody from Florida that spins fire or walks on stilts, does dangerous sideshow things?
Yeah,
anyone?
That would be me.
And I don't know. What's the level of technicality here, guys?
I'm also going to put it out there that the site was built. The reason why New chose the way he did, we have this editing program called Cornerstone, and I have been using it now for close to 6 months. And it is user-friendly. I think the videos will be helpful because there was a lot of little pieces where she made little mini videos for me as I was like, how do I do this and how do I do that? But then once I learned it's a lot of click and drag. It's a lot of, you just need to know which button to do what. But it's pretty user-friendly, and that's one thing I really liked about it. So I feel like I can do good design work, and I created the entire video tutorial contest page.
That looks
for
really
Tom.
Good, by the way. Looks really
and
good.
And it looks great. Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it looks great. And so, so it's like I've become proficient just by using it, for a few months, and by having videos. So I think once we do have all those videos, it'll be pretty user friendly and pretty easy for somebody to come in and know how to manage it by watching those.
Okay, that's good to know, Aaron. We can cross that bridge when we get there. Not trying to put you in the spot, Ian. That's just...
It's okay. I'm definitely interested. I actually see David on a regular basis down here.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my God.
You guys are all
perfect.
Buddies. You can, work together.
Who's that? Who's
David
Landau. No,
who
said that?
Ian.
Ian, okay.
Okay.
That's
well,
awesome.
Yeah,
that's great, Ian.
So David has suggested that the person you're talking about, the content manager, should be called the webmaster. I mean,
Right.
That makes sense. Yeah, it does it. The name, yeah. If he's not the webmaster, then him being sysadmin, that person can be the webmaster, yeah.
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 Just somebody who generally, so if somebody on the board or somebody has something that needs to go up on the web, a last, you know, the last line of defense, the webmaster will get it if it's not a specific program and put it up there or post it or manage that content into where it needs to go.
Yeah, I can definitely handle that. I manage a website, a few websites, but not
to that Ian?
Yeah.
Ian, is that you?
Cool. Yeah, that's Ian. That's great.
And I think
is the first person one might go to saying, I need to fix such and such a thing or have such and such a thing, and the webmaster says, oh, that's handled by Aaron because she does IRC, or it's handled by so-and-so.
Yeah.
Because we're all,
yeah.
So that's mostly one
delegation.
Of the things. Yeah.
Totally. Or
yeah, delegate, and if it's not there, yeah, if it's not delegatable, it gets done by the webmaster in a way.
Okay.
Yeah. The chief delegator.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it,
the chief delegator.
Chief Webmaster, this is Master Chief, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be
Master
brilliant.
Master Chief, perfect.
We'll call this, we'll create it, I'll call it Master Chief. He will be fighting over who gets to be that, just on the name alone.
Yeah.
Anyways, folks, I like it. Keep me in the loop, website team.
Yeah, so,
yes,
and I was just going to say, if you want to kind of be the, not just get smarter bees back, I know both sides. I know they've been through a lot of stress. Scott once has done just as bad as we do, and he's been very frustrated as well by the things that have happened. You know, but at the same time, it's his company, and he's the one who needs to follow through. But if you want to send an email, kind of, you know, saying, hey, we really need these deliverables, because our requests have been somewhat ignored sometimes, which is frustrating. And so if you can kind of, you know, just send him a requesting like, hey. training videos,
okay.
And things. These things are important to us, and same thing with the style guide and the other pieces that are needed to finalize the contract.
Would it be best if I sent this as a group email, or would it be better if this was more personal between him and I?
It's up to you. Maybe a personal thing is kind of... What's that?
I think you should CC Aaron and me. And maybe,
okay.
But at least Aaron and me. When you're talking about the tutorials.
Okay,
even if it's
please put that in the notes.
Yeah.
Could you put that in the notes, Shavela, as a reminder to myself?
And just, and also just like, you know, keep me in the, make sure to email you and include your email in all conversations because you want to be informed as the chairman of the board.
Okay.
And that.
I have, go ahead, Aaron, sorry.
Oh, I'm done.
Nathan, you wanted what reminder because you wanted to be blind copied on all the updates for the launch.
Yeah, reminder, Nathan, to email Scott from Get Smart Group, CC, Martin, and Aaron. Talk about deliverables, tutorials, videos, and there was one other item.
The style guide.
Oh, and keeping me up to date with progress and
date.
Release dates.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thanks.
There's no BCC. I think, Shavela, you said BCC. We're not talking about BCCing anybody. It's CCing.
CC is fine.
Full on CC. I like it.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be blinded by my email. You'll be able to see it. It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah. So that's the report. And then just end on a good note, as I said to Louis earlier on Facebook, is that the process has been stressful and much longer than ever anticipated, and for many people, but I'm still super excited about the site, and I still feel it's all going to be worth it in the end, knock on wood, and we have made large strides in creating a super cool website for the IJA, and I'm excited about that.
Yes, I concur. It looks really good. Good stuff. Yeah.
As long as it works.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Final thoughts?
And tentatively, we have a 2 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow meeting, which hasn't quite been confirmed, but all the people seem to be able to attend. Aaron,
yes.
Is that going to work with you?
That works for me. I'm going to send a follow-up email saying, okay, we're on. And if Scott Reynolds can't be part of it, Scott Kay, who is our designer at the time, at least can, and we can make sure that we're all on the same page for things. open right. there.
Scott Reynolds said he could be there until 3 p.m.
Right.
So it
That's
like, sounded like he could.
Good work for him. Yep. Cool.
Okay. All right. So hopefully we'll make some progress tomorrow, and we might end up going live the next day. Who knows? But I'm not making
Who knows?
Any promises.
We're not holding our breath. Yes. Who knows? We're going to
check out. And if you know, you guys, I didn't mean to, like, say that we need to do this at the expense of putting up a flawed website. If you really feel we need to give it another kind of beta test pass, that's fine. Just keep me in the loop, and we can
right.
communicate that to the board and keep it going with communicated momentum as opposed to just have this kind of bewilderment with some of the people involved, and I think we'll be fine.
Cool.
All right. Good talk. Moving on. E-Jug Report. Scott was kind enough to send this over to me, basic budgetary breakdown. Any thoughts? If he can get any videos from OFEC or Amron, that's going to be epic. I was watching some of Amron's videos over the weekend. Oh my gosh. You guys seen Plastic Mind, that club video he put out? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He put that wonderful stuff.
Yeah, he's an incredible, not just juggler, but cinematographer, too. Just everything, he's just beautiful. So, yeah, hopefully that'll come through. Any discussion? Moving on to membership. Thoughts on membership, folks? There's the numbers.
Cool.
Actually, it looks like our numbers are a little behind now that I'm looking at this.
Could be because somebody's on a cruise.
Well, it looks like they've been updated for a couple months.
Oh.
Well, I'll give it another month, and if they're not updated, I'll reach out to Marilyn. Not a big deal, but just something to keep in mind. Any thoughts on membership?
Just that we're going to be, I know with Scott Felter and David and my brother and I, we are members almost down to on E-Puzzle that hopefully will create some interest for membership.
I cannot hear you.
All right, let me take this off of speaker a second. I said, this is Scott, that Scott Felter and my brother David and I are about to launch some members-only content on eJuggle that should spark some interest for people to up their memberships or join. And I, again, that lineup that Dan listed for the IJA Fest, if all those people do come, we're going to have a much better turnout, I think, than previous years that will have a pretty broad membership up to point.
I feel
well,
pretty
that would be nice,
too.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah, what's I feel that? Pretty good after hearing Dan talk about the festival. Yeah.
Indeed. It's going to be good. We appreciate the hard work here. You're putting forth working with Scott. Scott, good stuff. Any more discussion about membership? All right, folks, moving on to item 6, motions for consideration. The motion as worded is the motion to approve Aaron Stevens as the paid IRC coordinator based on the following proposal plan. Proposal plan is attached, as is the budget. Would someone like to make this motion?
Is Ian here? I'll make the motion.
Thank you very much, Ian. Do we have a second?
This is Louie. I'll second.
Hey!
Put us all
Holy
down.
Mackerel.
All of us.
Gosh. I'm going to go with a rock, paper, scissors, Scott. Holy mackerel. That was a tough one, though. I appreciate the enthusiasm, especially after an hour and 15 minutes. Thank you, folks.
I don't think Scott was even close, but.
Oh, well. Okay, well, can you at least confirm that you did indicate a second, Scott?
I did.
All right, let the record say, Scott, I apologize if I hurt anyone's feelings. Moving on to discussion. All right. The proposal is written. Did you want to talk about this at all, Erin? You've discussed this before.
Not in particular, Not really anything different than what we talked about at the meeting. Just kind of wanted to open up for any questions or thoughts.
Okay, I will say this is a fairly substantial motion board, as traditionally we don't have a lot of paid contractors. As of now, really pretty much the only people that fit that description would be our bookkeeper, Dennis, and of course our festival director, which turns over every year. So this is kind of a new direction for us, at least a new direction that we haven't been in a while. So it's good. If you have any questions, get them out here. I guess my question right now, Erin, would be based on your plan, how feasible does this look at this instance in terms of fundraising and executing this as it's ideally laid out?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I put different, you know, I did the full budget of it was the dream budget of $50,000, but I also kind of outlined the percentage model in the proposal based on, you know, what other incomes might be raised. And so, you know, while I would love to push myself and push the idea to see if we could, you know, really, really raise $50,000, just because that would be pretty awesome, and I feel that would open doors for other fundraising things of the IJ in the future, and we'd learn a lot in the process of what works and what doesn't. You know, I feel like reaching 20,000 is totally doable, which is what I had put in there for, I think, the amount that would allow still organizing 5 IRCs. And then beyond that, I'll be, you know, excited. I also put that, you know, I've never done this, and I definitely don't promise that any of the numbers would be attained, and yet I feel like, you know, let's go for it and see what happens and learn in the process and see how we can apply this to future fundraising endeavors.
Speaking of process, Erin, how would you envision that this would be managed in terms of, like, the money coming in and how much is getting paid out? Was this something you would take and then present to the board?
Or
Dennis?
I figured it would go through the same channels it did last year, where we have, on the new website, we have a donation thing for the IRCs. So as far as, like, a crowdfunding source thing, I would think that money would be directly towards that fund, as the IRC fund, which Dennis has been keeping track of already for 2 years. Then, you know, same thing with anything that I get from direct donors. Like, Unimed's the only one who I think mailed in a check last year, but the other donors last year did it through the online donation thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I would definitely prefer it to mostly go through the IJ. And the only thing that would come from me would be if I did a personal fundraiser, which is one thing I've considered doing in my local town, because my local peeps support me a lot. And then I would put that into my account and then do a donation of that amount to the through the online thing as well, directly from my account, something like that.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead, Martin.
This would be an independent contractor position, correct?
Yes.
And would the amount that we pay the contractor be dependent on the amount fundraised?
Yeah.
It's a potential big loss if we don't get it.
That's all outlined in the proposal as well. That's pretty much anything that would be, it's basically up to me to raise the money to get paid. And I did that with that model, knowing that the IJ doesn't have the budget to do it right now, and knowing that IRCs are in a really cool place where they may potentially be one of the best programs for the IJA to do direct fundraising. And so, this is, as Nathan said, it's kind of a big deal. You know, I've been on the board for 6 years and done everything I've done as a volunteer, and so I'm aware of the budget situation, and so I didn't want it to be a strap on the IJA in any way, but I do feel it's important for me and my sanity. to make some shifts to be able to manage it more effectively. But, so it would all be based on fundraising. Smart.
Okay, I haven't seen any. You say it's all explained, but I saw nothing but a budget. I saw the budget. Is there some text that explains things?
Yeah, there's a very lengthy text. It's in the motion. There's a lengthy text that breaks down some of the percentages as well.
This is in the motion
yeah.
that's on the website, in the agenda?
Yeah.
On the agenda, yeah.
Nathan added it after you had written that email. I had said that
okay.
I had made a proposal a while back, and he said, okay, I've updated everything, and it has been added. So that was a few days ago he added that to the agenda.
Okay. Wait, I'll take a look.
And just to be clear, it is right now there is about $7,000 raised for the coming year.
Right.
6,000 some.
It's around 6,500 with the carryover.
Yeah.
2,000.
Say if there was zero, you would be getting paid zero. It wouldn't come out of the IJA
Correct.
Budget to then pay you a minimum of 2,000. But at 6,000, there is a percentage you already would, in effect, be paid out of the current 6,000 we've raised. So that in a little bit in a way would come out of money that's been raised for the IJA that isn't earmarked to anything but the IRC right now.
Correct.
But then as you increase that money, your pay increases and the amount of money that goes to the IRC increases. So they kind of grow together. It's not like we have a minimum due to you right now for any reason.
No.
And if we go forward with this, we don't have a minimum due to you. You get a percentage of what's already been raised. So I like that
Correct.
Part of it. And it feels safe that way. And then we just pay you out either once a year or maybe twice a year. We figure out the right schedule with Dennis and Afton when the right schedule to pay you out is. And you're responsible for all the taxes and all that. On the other end, we just pay you a 1099 as an independent contractor sort of situation.
Correct.
What did you imagine
yep.
for the payout frequency, ideally, Aaron?
I hadn't talked about that too much. It could be quarterly, would make sense to me, I guess. Would be better than, I think, once a year or twice a year.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I don't have a strong feeling either way, I'm just curious.
Yeah, totally. Or monthly. Like, I'm happy to talk to Dennis about what makes the most sense on his end, too, you know?
Right, yeah.
Because also, I guess quarterly is even going to be tough. I mean, that would mean I wouldn't get anything until, you know, say March or something like that. So, yeah, I'd be happy to talk to Dennis about what would work best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, the most alluring thing about this proposal is definitely the fact that it's not directly coming out of our savings or general fund. It's kind of ideally a self funding endeavor, and I think that's really attractive from this perspective. So,
and as I outlined in the proposal as well, like, I would like it to be where a majority of the depending on how much is raised, the IJA would also pay less right now it's been $500 per IRC, so this year it was $5,000 that went towards the IRCs, $2,000. And so, you know, depending on how much is raised, if the dream amount is raised, then I would love it where both the hosting festivals and the IJA general budget weren't paying for the prize money. That was all coming out of the amount raised. And then so that would just be adjusted based on how much is actually raised. Like, I might still come to the board asking for some of that budget depending on what's realistically.
So here's a question, Aaron. If this does come through and it's, you know, very much an ideal, how would it change from what you're doing change from what you've already done or are doing currently in terms of your duties and tasks, accomplishments, et cetera, goals?
Yeah, should we write down some of that or have some of that as part of the deal going forward so we do have some definition and so for you and for us, some definition of that sort of thing?
Right,
like what
yeah.
the goals
and then
are and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, what we could do essentially is create a job description, more or less. If, you know, post-vote or whatever people are comfortable with, but that would outline fully what my requirements would be. I mean, we could discuss it now, but I feel like to look at what Nathan said, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Doing everything I've done has been close to a full-time job for the IJA
Indeed.
For the last long while. But with the IRCs even more so. And so, you know, like I would still be the volunteer whatever, marketing director and that stuff, you know, anything IRC related would be relevant to the job, quote unquote. But yeah, essentially trying to grow the program, learning more effective marketing strategies, learning better ways to figure out how to bring more income in to the IJA as well through these programs. And, yeah, just doing but better.
So the way I envision this is if this were to pass, the next step would be at the next board meeting or whatever, we'd vote on the contract that outlines the exact payment plan, the exact duties,
description,
description, etc., and then that would be voted on and then implemented. So I see this as being a motion to approve this to happen, but not actually happening until the contract is created and approved based on the terms that we then decide upon. One thing I think I would really like to see personally is I really like all the exposure we're getting, particularly in South America, but I would like to see a way to, I know we've talked about this before, but convert that into direct international membership. Find a way that these people can join the IJA, get excited about being an IJA member, want to be a part of the organization, not just, you know, following it online, but actually being a member. I know there's a lot of obstacles there, but I'm fairly confident that a system can be developed somehow, and that's something I would like to see ultimately.
Definitely. Go ahead, Louis.
No, that's it. Like I know there's been threads on the Board Plus forum before, like, are we fading from a membership sort of situation? Where is that going? I think we'll figure out something, but having thousands of people interested in the IJA, there has to be some way we can convert some of that into members or whatever our new membership model is. Like, that,
right.
Yeah, that would be great to see, like you're saying, Nathan, see that happen as part of this would be wonderful.
Right. And I know, like, I've come back, I know, actually at the planning meeting, Scott had asked about, you know, how these have affected membership directly. And, you know, one of the things that I've said for a long time is that the membership model as a whole is on its way out. It's something that's not overly popular in our current day and age. In general, when I talk to anyone under 35 or so, they say membership, why would I do that? Like, I can get everything for free online. So that's always been a concern of mine, why I've always focused on programming as a way to figure out ways that we can get other types of funding, like things like this, like a fundraising campaign that specifically supports a program to exist that allows the IJA to fulfill its mission effectively, and is still bringing in income, to get things like sponsors, to get things like personal donors. And so if we do have effective, you know, fundraising, I think that is a huge success because that shows that we've created an effective program. That is now bringing income into the IJA's programming. And so I think that's, you know, one thing to look at. And then also, I think with the new website, that's been one thing I've been wanting us to have going so we can really do some stronger membership things where it's like we have, you know, a really clear place where people can go learn about the membership. Like, we haven't had that for the last 2 years with the YM site. It's kind of everything's been mixed and matched and between these two random websites. So I think having one strong website where we really can promote the membership, and also, like, Nathan, I know we've talked a lot about how do people from Latin America pay for the membership, and we need to figure that out to give them that option because they don't have PayPal and they don't have credit cards. So, yeah, I totally too, though, and open to that.
All right.
Yeah,
so
this could be a model going forward for the YJA, could go under some other program, could be taken on in this sort of model that hopefully will then throw back some of that money into the larger program. You know, we put solar cells on the roof so then we can feed back into the electric system and make $20 a month.
Right. And maybe it's that we, you know, do a general annual fundraiser, and because we have this huge outreach now, people are willing to just donate $30 instead of becoming a member. You know, whatever that
is. But maybe they donate every couple years instead of a membership every year, but still, with the numbers, it might help just bring our bottom line up.
And then people might donate 100 or they might donate 500 depending on their income levels, you know, and it's, I think, yeah, starting to use more effectively that concept of fundraisers is also a really good strategy for the IJA.
All right. Any final thoughts, questions for Aaron?
Yes.
Go ahead, Martin.
Not so much for Aaron, but for you.
Okay.
I'm looking at this motion. The motion says to approve Aaron Stevens as the paid IRC coordinator based on the following proposal plan. Okay, so I have some problems with that wording.
Okay.
A, it's appointing Aaron right now, and you haven't, you in the comments noted below, I'm reading the agenda as it's edited, you're going to, you know, approve some further details next month, and yet you're at this point approving, as it reads, approving Aaron to this position. Also, it says paid IRC contract coordinator, which should be, you know, an independent contractor position explicitly mentioned in the motion. And I would say the motion should be to create a contract for someone to run the IRC, something like that. IRC director, I would say, is probably better than coordinator. But anyway, I would suggest not including the appointment of Aaron to this position at this time, since you haven't really put down the details yet. And
Since
you're not going to firm things up until next month anyway, there's no need to do this at this point. With that, you know, guaranteeing somehow her this position and to be paid, although I understand it's only if it's good fundraising, but that should be done next month when things are a little firmer. You can create the motion, I mean, use the motion to pass the motion this month to set up the process to do this, but I would be a little more careful in the wording.
That's good feedback, Martin. Okay, so in your view, should we still pass a motion to put this into place, or just go with the will of the board and forgo a motion this month?
You know, if it's all going to be, you know, sort of finalized next month, I don't see any benefit, particularly unless Aaron has some, to seeing it this month. I assume that the board is generally in favor of the idea, so I think that it will pass next month, assuming that things can be worked out in more detail.
I suppose that's the one thing that I kind of want to get that sense of, because I would like to start doing active fundraising this coming month in December. It's a great time to go and approach individual donors because they want to have it on their tax return. You know, I want to get a general sense that a majority of the board is in favor of moving forward with this, you know. I plan to do fundraising anyhow, but I probably wouldn't do it all out if I wasn't going to, or if some director, again, I've also outlined in the proposal that I understand if the board wants to, you know, whatever, look at other options, you know, but however it wants to be done. But I just want to know that this has somewhere to go.
Okay. Hey, board members. Not a non-official vote right now. Is anybody opposed to this proposal as written? Is anybody, would anyone like to abstain from this if we were to vote on it next month? Sounds like the will of the board is very in favor of this.
I would suggest you change the motion to appoint Aaron Stevens as the fundraiser for the IRC fund.
Well, I don't know if I want that either.
Too bad.
I'm already doing that. That's already part of my IRC director officer position. So I'm already the IRC director officer.
Okay. If you don't need a title to help you fundraise for the next month, then that's fine.
No, it's more knowing that what I'm fundraising for and all that, so yeah.
Okay. So, board members, with Martin's feedback, how about we just vote on this? Wow, that's kind of tricky.
Why don't you table this motion?
Yeah, why don't we table this motion? Well, if we table it, don't we have to resurrect it as worded at the next board meeting? Would we have to then amend the table board meeting at the next meeting?
Well, since you're probably going to change it drastically for next meeting, you may want to just simply reject this motion.
That's what I was thinking.
Right.
It's already been moved, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So you might want to just reject this with the comment that a new motion will be written for next month.
Okay. Now, with that said, what I would suggest, Aaron, is send me a rough outline of what terms you think would be good based on this proposal in a contract-like setting. I'll send that over to the board as well as Dennis and Afton, and we'll kind of whittle that down into really concrete terms, and the board will also submit expectations, and then we can get that into a contract. Does that sound satisfactory?
Maybe you and I can meet and talk about what that contract looks like, if I don't fully know what kind of contract we're looking at. I can make sure
you know what? Just send me, just general terms, basically whittle the proposal down and say how often you would you envision payment, and just
what my role would be, or role and responsibility
just
type of
really
guideline.
General, yeah, and then the board, we can come up with terms, and I'll get feedback from the financial side of things in terms of best practices, and then we can go from there. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, you can look at all the right. Festival director contract some. I think that'll be similar in some aspects to this contract. You might be able to look to some of that for some of the things you need to hit on the check-off box.
Good idea, Louie. Good idea. You can also look at the bookkeeper contract, since that's annual reoccurring. Well, we vote on it every year, but now you get the idea.
If they pay, exactly, yeah, depending on what the payment schedule is. Because I foresee, if there's a certain payment based on percentage, does that mean Dennis every month has to figure out the money and cut a percentage based on that month? And is that a different percent? May be some actual bookkeeping shenanigans, not shenanigans, but things that need to be looked at to done in the right way.
Totally.
You're paying the right percentages, and we're paying out the right percentages over the year instead of just monthly, and depending on how money sits and those sorts of wonderful things that bookkeepers know.
Okay.
Right, and I guess, because I had envisioned, the fundraisers would happen, and they'd be done, and we'd know the amount, and then we'd know how we were moving forward with payments, but it could be that there is incremental money coming in throughout the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
About,
stack up and stack up through the year, so maybe at the end of the year, another check cut that rounds it out, or what, again, Dennis and Afton know that.
Dennis is the man.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, I like it. Any final thoughts here, guys? Action item, Aaron Stevens, send over just a rough outline, and we'll put that into a contract.
All right.
Footnote, the board's general will is that we are for this, but we are going to move to a vote, and it's probably going to fail based on the reasoning that we want to instead vote it as a formal contract. With that said, we move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion as written?
I do. We're opposing now to cancel it, right?
Correct.
Yes, I oppose it.
Don't be shy, folks.
I will not
was opposed.
Yes.
We don't do this enough. Let's jump on this and oppose this. I oppose this. I am outraged. This is
even
correct.
I oppose
this. God. Oh, yeah. This is... All right. Oh, man, we're stomping all over this guy.
We should put in one a year like this, just so we could have the feeling of, this is...
It's really cathartic, It's just to get it out there and kind of grit your teeth.
Yeah.
Anyways, does anybody abstain from voting on this motion?
Wait, how many people oppose?
Wait. Yeah, exactly. What do I have to write here?
Once we get to...
I guess
we
all
get to
oppose.
For it. Oh, okay.
We all oppose. Okay.
Is anybody for this motion? Universal opposition. Motion failed. Plain and simple. All right. Aaron Stevens, I'm sorry your motion failed, but it's for the best.
I put it in caps just to be extremely...
Don't break my heart too much.
Okay. Aaron
Martin,
Stevens, thank you for
joining
us.
Yes, thank you. But just before you go in, Martin, have you seen a situation like this before in the past with the IJA, some sort of payment situation based on this sort of thing? Have you seen something come up before like this?
You mean payments based on fundraising
percentages? Yeah, something or self-funded in a way? Or has it always, have most situations like this come up, paid director and other things where it's taken out of the festival budget. Is that the most likely scenario in the past?
Well, I mean, the closest thing to that is the festival director's payment, depending mm-hmm. on how much the festival makes. So
the
festival director getting a percentage or an amount. And at one point in time, someone suggested that that was actually not a legal deal for a nonprofit organization to do. But as I understand, maybe it is. So we might want to look into that a little bit. But it's probably...
Okay.
Could you put that in bold with asterisks, any action items or things that need to be looked into? Because I'll have Afton and Dennis investigate that. That's definitely something we need to get settled.
The fact you're asking if a 501c3 can hire an independent contractor?
Based on a percentage payout. Is that correct, Martin? That's ambiguity?
Yeah, based on a percentage of the money raised.
It's almost profit sharing in a way. Well, I guess it's not really profit. Well, it's
similar. It seems to me that nonprofits do hire outside people or companies. I was
hired as a race director from a nonprofit as a contractor.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think he's specifically saying about the percentage payout based on performance sort of
issue.
Yeah, okay.
Percentage of income type thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hiring a contractor is no problem. Mm-hmm. We've hired contractors for years. The question is, can we pay based on a certain amount? But it seems to me that nonprofits do hire fundraisers and say, you get 10% of all the funds you raise, or something like that.
Correct.
Okay, great.
But I don't,
so, again, that might have to make the contract or the form 1099 specific for whatever we're doing in this case. Sorry, go ahead.
What was the question?
I was just saying, like, looking into this, like, because it is a percentage thing with a fundraiser, there may be some special paperwork involved needs to be checked out.
Or rules.
Yeah, some rules like that that needs to be thought about.
Yeah, it's mainly regulatory issues that we're concerned about. But beyond that, mm-hmm. I'll take care of this. I'll CC you guys. And you know what, if anyone is feeling inclined and wants to look into this, awesome. If not, I'll just hand this off to Dennis Afton, and if I have time, I'll look into it myself. So we're in good shape. Okay, guys. I'm just going to go ahead and move on to Varia. I have actually a longer Varia section than normal. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but these all are items that need consideration, so I do want you to kind of pay attention here. The first item... Item A, Noah Langholtz Remembrance Package. I posted about this on the forums. I'm hoping you guys read it. Long story short, I was approached by Brian Langholtz, an IJA member at the festival. His son had passed away, and he was interested in funding kind of like a youth package for the IJA festival to basically allow a youth juggler to come to the festival that normally wouldn't have the ability to do so. And he said he would be interested in potentially funding not just a festival package, but also like a travel and food stipend to really make this a reality. So I just wanted to see, I think we talked about this at the last vision planning meeting a little bit, but I just wanted to get a better indication as to if we want to proceed with this and if there's any concerns about doing this before I reach out to Brian, or if you guys think I should reach out to Brian Langholz. So that's kind of where we're at with that. Thoughts?
For me, the only concern is the choosing of the person who will be receiving the package. I don't know how we'll do that, and I don't want it to be a popularity contest or something. I don't quite know how to handle the choosing of that person. Maybe people recommend people in their juggling clubs or something like that, or some YJA member.
I think at the last
involved in that or something.
I think at the last meeting the idea was to form a committee, likely mm-hmm. based on maybe like some YJA, like maybe what's his name, Galen, and a few other officers, and then people could submit nominations. Scott suggested that, and I thought that was a very, very phenomenal idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Martin, do you see any issues with proceeding with something like this?
Well, I think what Louis said is the exact hardest part of this is how to choose someone and, you know, not have bias somehow from people in power. The committee would be good, a small group, and maybe having affiliates nominate people or something like that. I mean, I don't know if you want to let just anybody nominate people, but affiliates would probably be, you know, we get the affiliates back to life here a little bit. And nominate people that definitely have, you know, let's say has never gone to a festival, because if they've gone in the past, you know, it doesn't seem appropriate to give them such a thing to go again.
Yeah, that could be one of the regulations in a way, or some other one of the stipends could be that they couldn't have been before. Yeah.
Didn't we have almost exactly that thing a few years ago, organized by Kim? It was called a jugglership. I think Kim called it a jugglership.
Really?
And we had that for a year or two, maybe. And I don't know, Kim may have been the person who chose the people. I don't remember the details.
Interesting.
I think, discussing offline, or by email, that is to say, not meeting, different ways to come up with that would probably be good. We need to sort of blue sky the idea and see what ideas, what methods we can come up with.
Okay, I like that. All right. Shavela, action item. Nathan, send out proposal idea to board. CC Martin, develop plan for feasibility. Then once that's roughly solidified, reach out to Brian, get additional feedback from him, see if this is a feasible option. Go from there. Sound good?
And who did you say might have done it? Kim Laird?
Kim.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm hesitant to reach out to Kim is she's been since she's stepped away from the IJ, she's been very offline. She's kind of gone through some stuff and she's hard to get a hold of.
Okay.
So I don't I'd be happy to
I don't think there's a need to contact her. It's just that it happens.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll send out a plan to you guys. We can kind of chip it away, and then
Nathan, who did you want the proposal idea sent to directly?
I'll send to board. Also, I'll CC Martin for communications. And once we get that, I'll approach Brian.
By the way, was Brian's offer to give the IJA some money that the IJA would then hand out to the winner each year, you know, to the recipient?
I'm not sure if it was a reoccurring situation, but his verbal offer to me was that, yes, he would give the IJA this funding, not the IJA would pay it. Yes, it was him paying the IJA to do this.
Okay, but he would provide the funds for it for however many years he wanted to do that.
Yeah, I don't know if he has plans for it to be a reoccurring situation or not, but that's definitely something I could discuss with him after
we... Yeah, so it might just be a one-year thing.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
cool, guys. Thanks. Moving on. On that note, similar situation, Item B Renegade Stage Award. I was approached by... Oh, my gosh, I'm totally losing it. Help me out, Renegade Show Directors, Yo-Yo Guy, Wisconsin. Glasses,
Mark Hayward.
America's Hayward, thank you. Mark Hayward approached me at the IJA Festival. One thing he said is, you know, the IJA has a lot of great awards, but one thing that's has a very rich history with the IJA is the Renegade Show, and there's been a lot of legends that have kind of made their name there and left their mark. And he said, it's kind of a shame that there's really no way to recognize some of these people, particularly the ones that are still with us. And so he wanted to know if it would be feasible to have some sort of Renegade Stage Award that the IJA would recognize. He offered to make it. He just mainly wanted the IJA's blessing and historical recognition of this award to present to people that had made contributions on the Renegade Stage. So I just wanted to get your feedback on that, if this is something we want to go through with, and if so, I'll reach out to Mark, or if not, we can forego this.
Would this be historical Renegade Award or an annual, you know, Best of Renegade this year award?
No, it'd be historically based. He wants this not for people doing it this year, but who have made contributions to Renegade historically over the year. It's not just the current year. It's not a people's choice. He said it would probably be, he said ideally he'd want it to be, to have a Renegade committee, most likely people like, you know, him, Crash, Slam and Andy, and people that have worked in a long time and really know a lot of the talents that have gone on it over the years. So it'd be historically based, not yearly based, if that makes sense.
But given out each year, or potentially given out each year?
Potentially. I mean, we didn't talk about real details. It could potentially be treated like a lot of our awards, where they can be given out each year, but there's no guarantee that they need to be.
Right.
You almost picture this like a Hall of Fame plaque with multiple names. Every year a new, smaller brass plaque is engraved on there, like a Renegade Hall of Fame induction almost.
Yeah, and then another thing to keep in mind is, you know, if we did want to proceed with this, would we want to create this as its own category, or would we want to put this into the kind of special awards category that we have done periodically on our... So, but that's just something to... I mean, what do you guys think? Do you want me... Is this something we want to proceed with?
I don't know. This is Scott. I don't know. To me, Renegade is... Part of what Renegade is that it's not official with the IJA. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Should I have to chew on that some?
There's nothing to prevent Renegade from kind of doing something. I don't know why they need us to sanction them in a way. We can tip our hat. But I don't need, I just don't know. Like, I don't know if it needs to be fully sanctioned. But if they want to do it for internally, I don't think it's a bad idea. Like you're saying, Scott, it's kind of, it doesn't, the IJ and Renegade aren't, they're loosely connected, not fully connected. So there's something.
Right. I mean, and you know, my guess is they would want to present that at a Renegade show, not at an award. You know, or during the Cascade of Stars.
I kind of think this would become a tradition there.
But Nathan said this came from Mark Hayward, who's not part of Renegade. I mean, he may have been an MC, but he's not part of the Renegade juggling company. Mm-hmm. So who do you mean by they, Renegade, could give this award? Who do you mean by they?
Oh, for me, I guess that means the people who mostly put it on and do it, like the people Nathan had mentioned. We're mostly involved in it.
Yeah,
I think somebody from the company might be the good person we have to kind of oversee that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Martin, but Renegade Juggling Company is no longer affiliated with the Renegade shows, correct?
Yeah, they haven't been for a long time.
Yeah, so the people that do the Renegade shows are completely different than the Renegade company. They just the name is a little confusing, but yeah.
Yeah, we tried changing the name to Late Night Show. It didn't stick.
No, I don't. terrible name. It has to be Renegade. It's embedded in the juggling culture.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, guys. I mean, Scott does make an interesting point. The Renegade's kind of like an off-site thing that's not... I mean, it kind of is the festival, but kind of not really. You know, it's kind of its own separate late night dig. So, you know, do we need this? Or, you know, if they want to do it, who's to say that they... can't do it independently of themselves or with themselves. So Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? Final thoughts? I'll just let it be if there's no strong opinion either way.
I think letting them do it on their own is the appropriate thing.
Okay.
But maybe they just wanted hey, if we did this, you guys wouldn't be upset if we had our own award. So maybe that's all they wanted in a way. Like, who's to say? Maybe Hayward already has something half made. And he's like, I have a new trophy I need to give somewhere. Renegade.
Well, it
just
also,
for reference.
I mean, to buy a plaque, you know, that has something engraved on it and the nameplate, you know, that's not real, very expensive. Maybe what we do is we pay the $70 or $60 for the initial plaque, and then moving forward, it's up to you to cost the $6 to do the nameplate every year and to do it. That way we're acknowledging to some extent, you know, the benefit they, you know, their place in it, but we are not really managing the program long term or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Please let's not have a continuing plaque that gets a name added on every year, because somebody has to keep track of that, and we have a hell of a time doing that.
We do not want another Lucas Cup.
Okay, all right, all
year,
right.
We do not want another Lucas Cup. It's great that we have it, but we do not want. No,
get a new website? Can we make a new website just for the Renegade Award?
Oh!
We can get that developed in a couple of years. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no, you guys are killing me here.
We do list the Flamingo Award winner, I think, on our website, where we have honorary awards. And
that's
sort of a non-IJA thing. So we could list the people, you know, on our website.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, but I think Mark, at least when I talked to him, he implied that he would be willing to either make or have this award made himself, so it wouldn't really affect the IJA. So I guess basically, if we're doing a Flamingo Award, If they want to manage it, we could also do it on our website if we're okay with it.
Yeah. That seems okay with me.
Well,
I mean, you guys...
list the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, just list the winner.
I mean, do you guys want me to reach out to Mark and say that?
If he wants to make an award, if he has somebody in mind or something specific, I say... Yeah, we can list the winner if they come up with the winner and he wants to do it. He has something in mind. But I don't think we really need to, like you said, there's not much we need to really do other than saying, if he's going to cover it and buy it and everything,
All right. So on that note, maybe you can answer this question for me, Martin, but I'm a little confused as to, did we vote to include the Flamingo Award as a recognized thing on our website, even though we don't manage it? Like what?
I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know how that ever happened, but I don't think the board ever voted on that. I think it is listed on the website, isn't it?
That's my understanding.
I'm sure.
I mean, it didn't used to be listed, and I think it maybe was added in the last couple of years or something. By the way, the IJA invited affiliates to hand out awards at the festival, 20 years ago or something, and it's rarely been done, but there's been one or two of those, and the Flamingo Award is sort of of that style.
Okay. So, okay, I can reach out to Mark and say, you have our blessing if you want to create this award and hand it out, and do you guys want me to say you can also put it on our website? We'll also put the winner on our website if you want to, or what do you think?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that hurts.
Okay, do you want this done in a motion, or are we just going to kind of, you know, let this, trust that this is managed effectively and put this on there?
The Flamingo Club Award is listed, at least on the new website.
Yeah.
Probably on the old one, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this doesn't need to be a motion.
Because who's to say what their follow-through is going to be on it?
Right.
If it happens, then we can kind of take it from there.
Okay. Okay. So does everyone think that's a good idea? I'll reach out to Mark, say, you know, you guys, you come up with this. Best of luck. Wish you the best. And if you want to, we'll put that on the website. Cool?
Cool.
I always imagine a Renegade Award, somebody hijacking the show, interrupting, running on stage, and totally trying to, like, you know,
crash
show to give out the award, you know?
I could, like, some tradition like that. I think maybe they're trying to instill some sort of feeling like that. Like,
I could see that happening, you know. We say that we're going to do it on the website, and then they go and ambush and grab the mic and, you know, just award it out.
Yeah, we're opening Pandora's box here, guys. This is going to be a real weird award. That's all I'm saying. Okay, any final thoughts? Okay, Shavela, action item, Nathan, reach out to Mark Haywood regarding this award. Oh, you already have that on there. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Martin.
The Flamingo awardees were not listed on the old website, although there's a link there to the separate Flamingo Club website in the new website that got incorporated into the list of winners on the awards page. So they've been promoted, as it were, with the new website.
Okay. And are you good with this course of action as communications director, Martin? Do you see any holes here?
I'm sorry, I missed the question.
Are you okay with this, or do you see any holes here in terms of communication?
No. I mean, if as a whole, it's who officially represents Renegade and makes this choice. So, you know, you could arbitrarily say it's Mark Hayes, but I wouldn't put that in writing.
Okay.
And it's up to, you know, the webmaster or somebody to believe whether or not to believe that somebody is really the award winner. But that'd be too hard to figure out.
Yeah, and I mean, given that we're not funding this award or taking nominations, I think worst case scenario, we just, if there's controversy, just say we don't feel the need to put it online. All right, good. Moving on. Item C, Juggle Magazine digitization. So, I received a very interestingly timed foreword from Alan Howard. I forwarded this onto the board. Did you guys see it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll recap for those of you who may not have seen it. Basically, we've been talking about digitizing the old Juggle magazines, possibly putting them on the new website, members-only content, etc. And then I get this interesting email from Alan Howard. He received an inquiry from Chris Watuber, who owns the website library.com, spelled with a Y. Basically, they sell old PDFs and digital files of books and magazines, particularly a lot with Magic. And this guy is offering to buy digital prints of Juggle Magazine and sell them. And Alan seemed pretty excited about this idea, so he wanted to know if this was something we'd be interested in pursuing. Thoughts?
This is Scott. I didn't actually fully understand what he was offering I didn't quite get it.
Okay, so I think basically what he's saying is we would green light to have our old back issues be available for purchase on library.com. We would provide them for him, and then he would sell them on the website like he does his other wares, and he would either pay for them up front per issue, or we'd get a percentage of the sales. There'd be some sort of back-end deal, but basically he would be the library.com would be the digital distribution center for people that want to buy digitized versions of his content.
And does
it's just something the PDF.
Correct.
And does it cover everything as far as, I mean, we've had we've had all the different, you know, we've had Jungle, we've had Jungler's World. Are we only talking Jungle?
So, based on Alan's email, he said that that we would need permission from him, Stan, and the board, and Stan's issues would cover 1998 through 2006. Alan's would be 2007 through 2011, and predating 1998, I have no idea what the rights usage is. But that's like almost,
yep.
What, 13 years?
The IJA owns all the rights to Jungler's World.
Okay, so if we were to get Stan and Alan's permission, we could hypothetically provide library.com with our entire library. Provide library.com with our library.
Well, partially. We have newsletters going back to 48, but which are apparently digitized, but no one can find the digital. Apparently, Alan and Brian Dubay have all the IJ newsletters in a digitized form, but they neither can find it. But that's a different question, I guess. As far as the magazines go, I guess I just really want to know the particulars of how much are they going to charge, and how much do they get, how much do we get, and is there any fee for us up front?
Good questions. Put these down, Shavela. Thank you. So basically, what the deal is, I think this would be a good first step, kind of getting a feel for what Chris's offer would be. Yeah. And I guess another thing comes down to, do we want to digitize these for our website or hand them off to this website? The pro for our website, they'd be, you know, essentially on our brand. The pro for doing it through Chris is he would handle all the tech stuff. We wouldn't have to worry about creating an online library, any technical issues. We could just basically, you know, get the rights, sell them to him, and then have that be managed on his end. So it's kind of a, you know, pro-con either way. But I agree. I think the first step would be to get more information. Further thoughts?
Well, an option we might have is that to see if they could offer a discount to IJA members.
Okay.
Good idea. Great. Another membership bonus.
Yeah.
All right. Put that in the questions. I like it. Okay. So I can reach out to Alan and forward these questions to him to send Chris a feeler to get a little more deal information. Any more comments? All right, action item. Nathan, reach out to Alan to reach out to Chris with the questions that we just now discussed. Moving on to very item D, DVD trailers. Just real quick, guys. 2014, 15, and 16 discs are done. I have 2016s in my possession. 2015s is at the post office. I'll be picking that up soon. 2014s, presumably, will be shipped to me eventually. I'll reach out to Duncan once again soon. Do we want to have trailers for these? None of the editors have created trailers. I could try to push them to do some. I could try to bank them out myself. Is it worth creating trailers for videos this old? Is it worth the time commitment thoughts?
Did the contract require trailers?
I will double check. I don't think so, but I can check.
Well, except for 2016, I don't think we should worry about it. For 2016, maybe Alan Blackman would do one, you know, free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know about putting all that time into that or you putting all those hours and making that happen. If it'll be worth it, if it's a seller. Or just,
right.
Yeah.
We don't sell many of these, you know.
Yeah, we don't.
Probably not worth it.
I would agree.
Okay.
I'm also going to say no for trailer.
No turn up with you. And we can still promote them on Facebook and newsletters, so it's not a total wash.
Yes, and a clip can be taken out and used, a good clip. But a whole trailer with some graphics and sound and picking the best shots to sell it doesn't need to be done.
Right. So, yeah, okay. So do you want me to still reach out to Alan to get one for 2016 or not worth it?
Yeah, if he's willing to do one. He was the editor for that one?
Correct.
Yeah, if he's willing, if it's still fresh, that would be great.
Okay.
For 2016, these are all going to go up on eJuggle, right? Like they have in
all, the past year. 14, 15, and 16, all of them will be on eJuggle, yes.
Yeah.
Accurate. Okay. I'll reach out to Alan Plotkin. Action item, Nathan reached out to Alan Plotkin about a trailer. Cool. All right, guys. This has been a very, very productive meeting. Thank you for sticking it through. We went from less than an hour last week to over 2 hours. I appreciate you sticking it through. Now we set our December meeting. Okay, so let's see. 2 weeks from today would be the 12th. How does the 12th look for people for a vision meeting?
I'm good. I'm good for it. This is Ian. I'm good.
Okay.
Fine.
Let's go to the 12th.
Bad week for me.
Oh, it's a bad week? We could do the 5th.
Yeah.
Well, that's next week. Now that's not worth doing in a week from now.
My husband starts his new job on that day, so I imagine it's going to be wild. So
I don't think there's going to be a lot to discuss. So if you can't make it, Tavila, no worries. We'll just
you guys are going to cry.
Don't worry about it.
We will be sad.
Now there will be some depression, but we'll manage. Anyways, so for the business meeting, we could do the 19th or the 26th. It's only a week apart, but I think the 19th. It might be better because it's not the day after Christmas. What do you think?
Agreed.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best bet.
Okay. We will go the 19th. Pencil that in. Cool, guys. All right.
So we're doing the 12th and the 19th, or just the 19th?
The 12th and the 19th. The 12th will be our vision planning meeting, where we discuss kind of what's going on, and the 19th will be the business meeting when we conduct actual business on record, etc.
Our last meeting of the year.
Oh, yeah. So it is, Ian. So it is. We'll have to make this one count. All right. Moving on to item 9, motion to adjourn. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Ian. Chevala will.
Ooh, Ian edged out, Chevala.
Come on now.
Come on now. All right. Any discussion? All right. Thanks again, everybody. Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose adjournment?
Nope.
Any abstentions? thank you for confirming that, whoever did. Nope. Meeting is adjourned at 9:44 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks again, folks. Good night.
Thank
Have
you
a great
all.
Night.
Thank you guys.
Bye,
thanks, Chevala, for joining.